It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with Kyle from LaGrange Barber. This is giving me flashbacks to early 2018 when we first started the podcast. It's just you and me, kid. Bubba's on assignment tonight. We'll just leave it at that, right?
Yeah. I got a cookie in my mouth, David. How you guys doing tonight?
It's nothing... Nothing ceases to amaze me with Kyle from LaGrange, and so, hey, if there's anybody that can get away with eating a cookie, well, at least you got good taste. I give you credit. Oreos are right up, and I'm a huge cookie fan. I'm a cookie connoisseur, and I know how to spell that, but anyway.
I love donuts. I love donuts.
I love donuts.
Donuts are one of my favorite things.
Well.
That's what I'm about.
We could do a whole podcast on just cooking, whatever.
Junk food, yeah. Well, cookies and donuts.
Sounds good to me. How about if we eat cookies and donuts and do a sports podcast?
That'll work.
All right, let's do it. Wow, what a great, man, we've had a great time. We're going to, let's see. We have a ginormous, that's my new adjective, huge show tonight and tomorrow, whenever you're listening, today, whenever. Wow, what a huge podcast. We've got four great guests. Bubba's going to miss out, but it's okay. We love him. We've got him. He's in part of the show with us tonight, so we'll do that. Not our round table like we normally have, so we'll miss him. We'll be talking about our guests in a few minutes. By the way, thank you so much, all the people on social media. A lot of people liking our Facebook page, Kyle, and certainly with our Twitter, a lot of people following us. It's at TheSportsOBJ. On Instagram, you can follow us at TheSportsObjective. You can do that. And, by the way, email us, and you can do that, at TheSportsOBJ@gmail.com. And, by the way, if you're on Apple or anywhere that they have where you can review this wonderful podcast, give us 5 stars because we love you, and I know you love us, or you wouldn't be listening. Why would you listen to a podcast that you didn't like?
You'd be surprised. People like to bitch about things.
Okay, true. Like, I guess we could be kind of like a train wreck, something like that. I guess
give us 5 stars. Give us 5 stars and complain in your review.
Yeah, even if you hate us, give us 5 stars.
You'll hear a roar that'll knock pine cones out of trees 50 miles away.
Touchdown! Oh, Nelly came from my great-grandpa. And then he would do something, or drop something, or whatever, and oftentimes you'd hear him say, "Whoa, Nelly, whoa, Nelly."
Anyway, very sad news, by the way, my friend. Keith Jackson passed away, the legendary broadcaster, 89 years old. Whoa, Nelly! I can give hear his calls now, and he would say, "Roll Tide, Alabama." He passed away. Lots of great bowl games, lots of great memories, and in fact, he's the first broadcaster, college football-wise, that I ever remember. So that's why I think he's that's the first reason. Not only was he a great broadcaster, but I think the one thing that comes to mind for me is certainly he was a great storyteller. He was somebody that you could relate to. He's a personality, and I hope that if anybody's listening that's a network executive, please get people like Keith Jackson that are interesting, people that have personalities and not these cookie cutter guys.
No, I agree with you.
Read from a cue card. Please get a personality. That's what's missing for me is the guys that have no personality.
They're few and far between, man. They're few and far between nowadays, and I don't think it's necessarily their fault. I think it's the cookie cutter world we live in. Keith Jackson, legendary voice, obviously, listening to him call bowl games, listening to him call games on ABC in general. Great voice. It's just like, "Whoa, Nelly!" And just some of the great sayings, and just that voice you can hear in your head. They're few and far between guys like that anymore. They're dying out, guys with personalities that do play by play. You know, Timmy B, Tim Brando. He got demoted from CBS. He's on FS or Fox Sports One now, or whatever it's called.
By the way, he chose to do that because.
You're right. He did choose to do that because he didn't like the way things were going with the SEC and different things. And I, he's one of the few guys left that has some personality that does play by play. And You know, we need more people out there like Keith Jackson and like Tim Brando that have big personalities and don't want people that are over the top to try to make themselves bigger than the game.
No.
But just people that have a personality that stand out, that aren't just generic ESPN announcer.
Right. Right. And it's I'm trying to honor Keith Jackson by saying I'm not trying to be negative, just the fact that I want to see that people like him should not be an afterthought or history. That should be like the norm and not like the past. And so hopefully we can have more people. I think things come and go in cycles, but we're going to miss Keith Jackson and a lot of, in fact, by the way, Bubba reminded us before we went on, his last call was against whenever Texas took on USC, that big
the
national championship game where Vince Young scores that touchdown for Texas, giving Mack Brown his national championship, and it was a big to-do in 2006. And what a great call there by Keith Jackson. I love the way he said his name was cool. And the sad thing is, it takes somebody dying and passing away for them to really get be honored and cherished and loved, but he's going to be sorely missed. And he's the reason, like I said, most of you people know that listen to this podcast, I didn't really become a college football fan until I was 13 years old when I went to Dowdy Ficklin Stadium at East Carolina. So my history is less than Bubba's and some of the other people that grew up with college football their entire life. I didn't really care about college football, and I'm just being honest and real till 13 years old. And watching him on ABC back then when, I mean, literally there was not that many games. You didn't even know that, Kyle. There's not that many games when we were growing up. Now,
I didn't have cable when I was growing up.
What's that?
I didn't have cable because where I lived out in the sticks growing up. So all I had was CBS, ABC, and NBC, then later on Fox. So, yes, Keith Jackson's call on ABC, you know, is something that I always heard, along with the Raycom Jefferson Pilot ACC game of the week with.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
And what was that guy's name? He passed away recently too, in the last year or so.
Paul Hogwood, Mike Hogwood.
Yeah. I always remember him calling the JP game.
That's right, he did, and another great guy in North Carolina with sports announcer for sure, and he'll be an ACC guy who'll definitely be missed. But we wanted to, before we start off the podcast, and certainly honor him and make sure that definitely we'll try to see if we can have some legendary calls on our Facebook page and other stuff for sure.
The hyperbole is done. Now we can finally play the game. There's a penalty flag thrown, and I think it's against Miami. The royalty of college football is in assembly at the Rose Bowl 2006. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Vince Young scores. Texas has defeated Southern California to win the national championship of college football.
By the way, big week for the Pirates as Pirate basketball looking really good. Fell short. We'll be talking to Neil Punt later on. We'll give kind of a UCF and recap and a Temple preview as the Owls are coming to town tomorrow night, Wednesday night. We want to make sure that you're there. 7 o'clock time for the tip-off. And we need a lot of people there, right, Kyle?
Yeah, if you can go. All the students especially need to go. It's free for y'all. So go. Go be a part of the Minji's Maniacs. Be loud. If you're around Greenville tomorrow night and you can go. I mean, it should be a great game. Temple's just outside the top 25. They've won 3 in a row. But our Pirates, man, despite the record, we're playing good basketball right now. With the win over Houston, The two road losses were, you don't want to say good losses, but they were good effort on the road against Memphis and against UCF. And
solid programs right now.
Yeah, exactly. So we keep playing the way we've been playing. Good things are going to happen. You know, who knows what's going to happen Wednesday night against Temple. It would be another huge upset if we were able to get it. But, you know, the guys are just fun to watch right now. And you're going to – what you're seeing right now, something grow before your eyes, man, is over the next few years, Pirate basketball has the potential to go places it hasn't gone before.
And you know,
we're planting the seed. So be a part of it and watch it grow. You were there when this all started. Be there tomorrow night.
How about if you're soon to be 6-year-old and 5-year-old like my kids? They don't know any better that this team.
Well, that's right. That's right. That's a great point. I mean, your kids, maybe this will be the era where they don't know anything but East Carolina basketball be as successful. You never know.
That would be cool to have football, basketball, and baseball. They love going to Pirate games and being with their daddy, so maybe it'll be something not just where we do, but we actually can be competitive and win games. It'll be great, and especially one thing they want really bad is they've already noticed what it's like to win games at football. They've been to football games where they won, and they love it. I'll never forget when move on to just a second. When East Carolina beat Carolina this year,
yeah.
You should have heard Alexander. He went home. He came home, and he told his older brother and mama, he said, "Why didn't you go to the game with Daddy, me and Daddy?" And he told us, Mackenzie, my daughter, he said, "You guys missed out on a game, a real game. We won. The Pirates won," and he was running around. And I was like, that's what it's going to be like when, if we can ever get a real coach, and we got Mike Houston, so the rest is history. By the way, Coach Scotty Montgomery's house is up for sale, ladies and gentlemen. I failed to mention, tell you this off the air, Kyle. $1.4 million for
how many bedrooms is it? I mean, I need 10.
Star Hill Farms, I think Road or wherever it's that neighborhood with the Chancellor. So Cecil State. So you can be a neighbor of the Chancellor for only $1.4 million.
And maybe 10 bedrooms?
What, no?
Is it? I heard it's only 8 bedrooms. I need 10.
Yeah, it would be kind of a, you know, for me, I have so many bedrooms now. We have 4 at our house, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe we should consider moving.
I mean, Star Hill Farms is a little, I mean, I'm looking for something a little better than that. That's a little,
Is that like the slum?
Yes, I'd be slumming it just a little, so I don't know.
Would you be nervous living there with you and your wife, like Jessica? You wouldn't be safe.
That's kind of, you know, would a scumbag crook living in that neighborhood? I don't know if if I'd feel secure having my wife there. So
All right, moving right along. Jaden Garter, speaking of Pirates, he actually is the player of the week, rookie of the week for the American Athletic Conference. Again, the third time, by the way, Kyle, November, December, now he is, if he can play well for the rest of the way, he's got a really good shot. I feel like he's going to get, like Sean Williams last year was rookie of the year for the American freshman of the year, and he's got that potential. I really believe unless he slumps the second half of the conference play, he's going to have a good shot. He's in the mix right now, and I feel like he's in the lead to get it, but we'll see how that plays out for sure. Another, there's all kinds of football hires we can talk about too. But I'll tell you what, we'll table that for a few days and let Bubba come back with us while he comes back from assignment. And I know he's doing bigger and better things in a podcast tonight.
What kind of assignment is he on?
I think it's actually he's searching out, get different guests for us. And definitely doing that, and something like that. So,
I wasn't sure. On assignment, I did.
Yeah, it's a great assignment, I understand. So, I'm sure he has a great guest in mind he's working on, and we'll figure that out. We actually have a tremendous show, and I'm going to use that the adjective for you now. We've got 4 great guests, believe it or not. So, if you're looking for basketball, we got basketball. You're looking for football, we got football. Hey, if you like baseball, then, boy, oh, boy, we're going to do that.
MMA, go somewhere else.
It won't be tonight, for sure. Hey, Kyle, your dream is coming true. You won't believe he's on the podcast.
Is it Jim Cornette?
No, we are. Oh. You promised you're going to deliver. I delivered on mine. This is one we've been working on.
That's right. Yeah, I know you're talking about. You're talking about the great East Carolina baseball coach, the Green County boy himself, the one and only Cliff Godwin.
That's right. We had a chance to sit down with him, and he is so much fun. Let's go to that interview right now. Well, very happy to have our very next guest on, a guy that needs no introduction, especially in Pirate Nation. I'm talking about head baseball coach of East Carolina University, Cliff Godwin. Coach, thank you so much for coming on.
Dave, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I know I told you right before we started, I want to make sure that we talk about the baseball banquet because I'm excited about the baseball season. I don't want to forget something that's very important to you and many of us that love the baseball program. Can you talk a little bit about that coming up February 9th?
Yeah, you know, it's a banquet that we have done every year that we've been here. It has grown. I can tell you that this year will be the most people that we've ever had. We're having it at the new student center. It'll be on the second floor in the grand ballroom. The autograph hour starts at 5 p.m. You come in, we'll have our posters. That'll be the first time you can get a poster, and you'll be able to get them signed by our entire team, which is pretty cool. So from 5 to 6, you do that. We also have a silent auction going on at that time. And this is the one time, you know, you can donate money, and it will go directly to our baseball program. So pretty awesome. You know, we hope to raise, you know, a lot of money, which will benefit our student-athletes in many different ways.
One question I have, Coach, another important question to me is someone that supports the program and certainly all across the board, but especially love baseball. Is there anything right now, I know you have the indoor hitting facilities, is there anything else, those that listening right now in Pirate Nation, that we can say, hey, we want to get that for Coach to help with recruiting and advance the program?
Yeah, we're actually going to reveal some designs at the banquet, and, you know, underneath we need to renovate our locker room, renovate our athletic training room, our equipment room, which houses all of our equipment, our team room, and then we also want to put a professional locker room for guys that, you know, play in our program and then come back, like a Dewanye Williams-Sutton, a Connor Litton, Chris Holba, Evan Krasinski, those guys, they can come back and then, you know, with that have a weight room at our facility as well. So weight room, professional locker room, and then renovate, you know, some stuff underneath to, you know, just make it, you know, first class underneath.
You've done an excellent job recruiting, and that's one of the things I want to ask you about today is I know how special East Carolina is to you and how special it is to me. What do you tell a guy that's you're looking to get? What do you tell them about East Carolina?
Well, look, East Carolina has been very special to me, you know, as a student athlete and now as the head coach. And, you know, I tell people all the time the best decision I ever made was in the spring of 96 when I chose to come to East Carolina University. So, look, East Carolina sells itself. We have an unbelievable coaching staff. You know, in my opinion, it's the best coaching staff in the country. And I don't think we're smarter than anybody else, but we're as invested as in these young men as anybody. And Coach Rozelle has a great track record of developing pitchers. Coach Palumbo has a great track record of developing infielders and also helping me with the hitters. And then, you know, I work with the hitters and the catchers. So, you know, when you come to East Carolina, you're going to get better, and not just on the field, but also a better person. And that's a huge piece of it for me is I want these guys to walk out of here and be more prepared for life.
It's very important. I know that one of the things I'm proud of is I am, when you use the term student-athlete, I know it's not used loosely by you. I believe the last time I checked, isn't the GPA around 3.5 for the baseball team, or help me out? I know you know that specifically.
Last semester, this past fall semester, we had a 3.41 team GPA, so that's three straight semesters that we've had over a 3.41 team GPA, which is unbelievable. Last fall, we had a 3.52. And in the spring, we had a 3-4-3, and we also hosted a regional. So you can definitely do it on and off the field, and it is something that a mandate in our program because at the end of the day, the best thing they can get while they're at East Carolina is their education.
No doubt, and I know your time is limited, so I want to ask you now about baseball. You're a fierce competitor. I know that about you. Love that anytime, anywhere, any place. This morning I woke up, it was 33 degrees. It wasn't kind of like baseball weather, but around the corner, there's the season starting. Are you ready to play right now, or do you want to put some final touches and some preparation?
I want to put some final, you know, touches to it and, you know, make sure our guys are physically and mentally ready to go. And, you know, right now it's kind of like spring training, trying to get their bodies and the pitch counts up and all that good stuff. And starting January 25th will be the first time we have an official team practice, and we will scrimmage the 25th, 26th, and 27th. So you have 3 weekends of scrimmages before you play your first game. So we're looking forward to that. But, you know, we're just focusing on getting a little bit better every single day and really kind of having our blinders on, because at the end of the day, we can't read all this stuff about the preseason polls and preseason first team all-conference, preseason All-Americans, because it's just poison. I mean, look, you start believing that stuff, and you don't work out as hard. You don't pay attention to detail as much, and we got to make sure that we're still doing what we need to do each and every day to be 1% better.
It's scary. In my notes, you probably were reading them, that I was going to ask you that question about D1 came out today and number 11 again this week for them, so I don't even have to ask that question. As far as baseball is concerned, it seems like this is – I want to get your opinion. Obviously, the expert, I'm not. It seems like this is the best pitching staff you've had since you've been at East Carolina. Is that fair?
Well, I think, you know, probably frontline pitching, you could probably say that that's, you know, something that's going to be a strength of ours. Last year's pitching staff is pretty good, you know, when you just go by numbers. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do to be able to put together that kind of body of work. And, you know, I definitely have a ton of confidence in our pitching staff this year, as, you know, Coach Rozelle does. But at the end of the day, we got to focus on getting a little bit better every single day. And if we do that, then, you know, the proof will be in the pudding at the end of the year.
I want to ask about scheduling non-conference. That's one of the things I admire and respect about you. A tough schedule, but I know you do that on purpose to get them ready for not only conference play, but you're looking for the big prize, I know, for that O word in June.
We want to challenge our guys, and, you know, we want to challenge them against the best competition in the country. This year, you know, we'll make road trips to Mississippi and play Mississippi State and Ole Miss, which, you know, are two great programs that'll be, you know, national contenders. And we also go to UCLA along with the normal schedule we have. So, you know, it's definitely something that I think the guys look forward to, because they get to play, you know, people that they normally don't play. But it does prepare us for the postseason. And, you know, like I said, I mean, every day we're just trying to get a little bit better so that we're playing our best baseball when it comes, you know, June.
One question that I hear all the time from folks, I wanted to ask you, because you're, again, the head coach. People are asking me, why aren't we playing NC State? So I know you've talked that before on other. Is there a reason
that's
why
the,
Coach Avin
wants to? That's the question everybody asks. Look, all I can say is for whatever reason, we don't fit into their scheduling philosophy. And, okay, you know, I respect Coach Avin that he has, you know, a way to do his scheduling, and we have a way to do our scheduling, but we would love to play them. And, you know, we've played them every year for over, I think, 20 years. I don't know. You'd have to ask Malcolm, you know, exactly on that. But this will be the first year we haven't played them, I think, in over 20 years. And we'd love to get them back on the schedule. But, you know, right now I don't see that happening unless, you know, Coach Avent can fit us into his scheduling philosophy.
Well, maybe we'll have to get the General Assembly or somebody to, like they did in football, to schedule the baseball games. I hope it doesn't come to anything like that, but certainly hopefully that'll happen, and I'm sure it'll take care of itself. Before we let you go, I'm a huge fan of your reality show, Cliff's Cab, and I've been binge-watching the last couple weeks to get ready for season. We have season number 4 coming up, I hope.
We do. If not, I think people would fire me around here, so I love it. I mean, I think it's great. I tell you what, it was, you know, an idea that was, you know, came up by Whitney Marks, who was at the time our marketing person. And I had no idea the popularity of this show that would come about. You know, we were just trying to get students to be more involved at our baseball games. And the next thing you know, we have recruits' parents walking on campus going, oh, my God, I watched the last episode of Cliff's Cab. It's so funny. So it's been great. Like, my mom loves it. She wants to get on the cab. And I'm like, Mom, you're not getting on the cab. So it's been a great asset to our program, and I'm looking forward to continue to do it.
Well, I guess that hurts my final question, that the guys on, if your mom can't get on the cab, I guess the guys on the sports ticket can as well.
I might let my mom on it. I just give her a hard time. But, yeah, hey, we are always welcome, you know, unexpected guests. So you just have to come out on those Mondays and just hop on.
All right, Coach. Well, we'll definitely do that, and I appreciate you very much for your time. Good luck against the season. And I know Rafford's on the clock. By the way, folks, get your tickets, ecupirates.com, for the baseball banquet February 9th and for season tickets, or you can call 1-800-ECU. Thank you, Coach, for your time. Appreciate it, man, and good luck this season.
Thank you for supporting the Pirates. Appreciate it.
I tell you what, I'm feeling good, and he was so much fun, and cannot wait to keep talking to him. I think he'll be. I feel confident he'll be back. He told me that he had fun with us. So, and he said we can be on Cliff's cab. So, you want to be on Cliff's cab?
Well, I didn't get a chance to talk to Cliff, so I don't. Maybe he'll just let you on his cab. But
go on there. We have to find him Monday when we're off.
We can all three. All right, we can all three go. Look, when I watch Cliff's Cavs, what I notice is Cliff's always picking up a bunch of nice-looking co-eds. I don't know if that's coincidental, accidental, or if it's just for ratings. But that's one thing I've noticed. He's always picking up a bunch of nice-looking co-eds. I'm not implying anything, of course. But, you know, we may bring down the ratings on Cliff Cab if we put our ugly mugs on.
Yeah, we better not do that. Season 4 is coming up for that. We had a chance to let's talk some basketball. We had a chance to talk to Davis Searcy, who is – he's actually the head of Menji's Maniacs. And let's do that right now. Well, the atmosphere for Williams Arena at Menji's Coliseum has been outstanding this year, and certainly a lot better than it has been in recent years. And one of the guys that's been leading the charge is Davis Searcy from the Menji's Maniacs. And Davis, thanks for coming back on with us.
Oh, yeah, not a problem. I'm excited.
Well, I have to say, Davis, you got to be pleased with if you just take from last year to this year, what do you think about the atmosphere of Williams Arena so far?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Like, every game, it's been – the lower bowl has been full every game, and the upper bowl is starting. The Cincinnati game showed that there was a lot of people even in the upper level, so that was nice to see, and just the energy that everybody's bringing when they're there at the games.
I know with the Cincinnati game, that's the best that I've seen it in a good while. Overall, I know that we wanted to have you on because the Temple game is obviously the next game, home game. What can you tell fans that are listening right now to this podcast? What can we do to get not only the students, but in this case, can you speak from a student's perspective to how important it is to have the fans that are in the lower bowl or the fans that are going to be in the upper bowl?
Oh, yeah. It's important to me, like, with everything with the Maniacs, but also, like, the players, like, come up to us after the game and, like, thank us for coming and, like, just tell us how big of an impact we are on the game. And I've heard students on campus talking about how our basketball team is good now, which is, like, I've been on campus, market on campus, and people are telling us, like, that they're going to go to the game and, like, they're excited about the next game. So that's a big, like, thing for me. It's, like, nice to hear other students, like, starting to jump on board with the team.
Davis, how do you get students to get involved with the Menji's Maniacs and to you know, be active members of the Menji Maniacs? What do you do to recruit Menji's Maniacs?
We'll go on campus some days with we have like a little flyer that has like where we sit and like how to get involved on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter kind of thing, and just kind of tell people about how they can get a t-shirt, how they can be involved in our student organization. So kind of just give them the benefits of being involved and like show them how they can just all you have to do is sit with us at games.
Gotcha. Davis, have you had any organized meetings where Coach Dooley or other staff members or players or both have come out and spoken and that kind of thing to create some excitement?
We have not yet. We've been working on it with some marketing people, so we're working, hopefully going to have that happen soon with Coach Dooley coming to talk to us, the Maniacs.
And during last baseball season, I actually got to know you a little bit. I think it was actually we crossed paths the first time down at Charlotte in that series, and then we started to speak a little bit on social media. And I know you're involved with the marketing folks as a student assistant and getting some hours and experience in. Talk a little bit about the improved social media presence and the things that you've seen kind of take off since Joe Dooley was hired as basketball coach, because the social media presence to me is something that really jumps out as being a huge improvement from what it had been during the Jeff Lebo era.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that 100%. Just seeing, like, just Instagram, like, stories and Snapchat stories from games and stuff like that is just a big difference, because people at home can actually like see what's going on in the game and see what they're missing out on, so they'll maybe want to come to the next game. it's fun to just watch. Like, we'll see ourselves on there during Instagram stories, and it's pretty cool just to go back and check it out after the games.
What do you have anything? Is there anything special planned for the Michigan Maniacs to do differently? You got to kind of do you guys ever do any kind of pep rallies or anything like that before
next game? Yeah, the next game we're actually working on having a tailgate before the game, so we're going to try to make tailgating a thing for basketball just to give students one more reason to come out and support basketball, have a little tailgate before kind of thing.
That's a good idea.
And Kyle and I would be in favor of that, and Bubba I know would too, right?
Absolutely.
Davis, I wanted to ask as far as the overall season, as far as the basketball, what do you think about Coach Dooley and from the team, from your perspective as a student from last year? I know you've been there a while, but from last year, just from last year to this year, what do you think about the improvements that the coaches have made and players?
Oh, yeah. Like, you can just see it, like, just the effort level. Like, watching the Memphis game, everybody's on the floor every play. And if they're not, Coach Dooley's going to get them out. And, like, the effort is just so much better. It's just a lot more entertaining to watch as a fan, and it's just, you can see it in the improvement of the team and just how hard they're working.
Do you have your, since you're a senior, correct?
Yes.
Do you have your successor lined up, Davis?
I've talked to a couple people. We're working on it, getting the person that's going to be exactly set up. It might be like a combo duo with a couple guys, so it'll be a good hand for next year.
Good deal.
I think one of the very exciting playmakers on this team is undoubtedly Seth Ledet, and he's someone who can he's been talked about by Coach Dooley numerous times as far as having tremendous athleticism, the most athletic guy on the team. He can really produce some highlight reel dunks. Talk about what it means to have a guy like that and some of the plays that he can make to generate the excitement and get you guys going.
Oh, yeah, like, you never know when he's going to try to dunk on somebody. We've been waiting for it this year. He's gotten a couple people, but there's sometimes he goes up over a guy that's way taller than him, and he almost dunks on him, and he at least draws a foul every time. So it's really, you never know what he's going to do. So it's awesome to watch him play every game.
Have you guys in the Maniacs had any interaction yet with John Gilbert?
We have not officially. We've seen the first day he came, he went to he was at, like, I think Uptown Brewery, and we all went and met him there. So that was like the second day he was hired. So we all got to meet him there.
David, so you familiar? I think we may have asked you this before. Forgive me if we did when we had you on prior to the season. But John Medford, he's someone, he's very involved with ECU still as an alum. But back in his day as a student, I know he was someone that really spearheaded the Minji's Maniacs and got the ball rolling and coordinated things. Are you familiar with him?
No, actually I'm not.
Okay, and like, I know his company, the intro video that was such a big success this year in football, that's what his company was the one that produced that. So
oh yeah, that's awesome.
But John Medford, he's tremendous, and he's someone that I could definitely put you in contact with, because I know back in the day, in the old CUSA days, when you had the likes of Louisville, Marquette, Cincinnati, and so on, and we had some tremendous crowds, and the student in the lower bowl, if you will, was always, well, most of the time it was full, and even if it wasn't full, it was fairly close, and the student involvement, maybe, I know some programs maybe use things like in different cheer sheets and things to get things going, and I'm sure that may have been something you guys already do, but some things like, as far as the, you know, of course have the Let's Go Pirates, but then other things to sprinkle in throughout the course of a ball game.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Hey, Davis, I had a question along those lines. As far as the, I know that Coach Dooley and the players do a lot of game preparation. Do you guys individually or together, do you guys come up with a quote game plan on maybe individual players or are different strategies, or kind of like what Bubba was saying, do you guys do that ahead of time, or is it more of an improv, ad-lib kind of thing?
We have a couple guys that actually do, you know, like the day of the game, they'll like go online and kind of just look up information on other players and anything that they can possibly get the scoop on. Like, so they'll come to the game, and like before the game, we'll all talk about kind of what information we got on the other guys and the other team and kind of like how we're going to go after it.
That's really cool. I know the students have, you guys have seemed to be really fired up there, Sharon, with reason, because the on-court play, have you noticed, Davis, with the, I know Kyle used it in our last episode of Hustle, but have you noticed how they're diving for loose balls? You can't help but be more jacked up, right, about the basketball.
Oh,
game.
Yeah. Like, if there's a ball on the floor, you can bet our team is going to be down there trying to get it. And most time they're winning that, you can see other coaches get just frustrated by how their team is just getting beat onto the floor every time.
And that certainly has made the team, I think, more competitive going in that. As far as the what game, did you say which game? I didn't hear you. Did you say which game, you guys? Is it a Temple game, or what game are you going to do for the tailgate?
The Temple game, yeah. We got a couple of us. Yeah, a bunch of our guys are going to be tailgating before the game.
Well, that'll be awesome. How can people, there are students, how can they join the, or if there's maybe family members listening and they have a loved one that's a student, how can they join the Menchie's Maniacs?
Just connect with us on Twitter and send us a direct message, and we always take new members. To be an official member, all it is $10 and you get your T-shirt. That's all you got to do to be an official member. Or at games, just come sit with us. We take anybody, any age. We actually have had some kids sit with us as of lately. So last game, we had a bunch of like little kids with us in the Maniac section.
How about like Kyle and I? Can we sit with you? I think I asked you last time, but
oh yeah,
come on, anytime. We'll get our T-shirt and we'll sit down there with you.
Oh yeah, anytime.
That would be great. Can you see? Hey, I have an idea, Davis. We could actually pass Kyle through the crowd.
Oh yeah,
Jesus Christ, David.
That would be cool, man. You're
several people killed at Menchie's Coliseum as large man falls.
No, you're the life of the party. It makes sense. I mean, Bubba would. I mean, you're the life of the party.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't think anybody needs to pass me over their heads. Jesus Christ.
You know, guys, when you really take a look at the potential that we have at Williams Arena, Menchie's Coliseum, with our atmosphere, like I referenced, even going back before those old CUSA days where we had the likes of Marquette and everyone I named earlier coming in. And so back in the old CAA days when Joe Dooley was here the first time, our atmosphere was tremendous a lot of the time. So it's something that's definitely going to come, because we're going to start winning more consistently under Joe Dooley. And I know the nation's going to find out the atmosphere that can exist and has existed on a sporadic basis in the past at Menchie's.
Oh yeah.
You think back to when you heard the likes of Tom Crean, who's of course now at Georgia, but when he was at Marquette, you hear guys like that, Dwayne Wade, and just people that are really known throughout college basketball, great players and coaches talking about how it was deafening in there and how the fans impacted the game. Pirate Nation really needs to take that to heart and get out and support this basketball program.
Oh, yeah. Definitely looking forward to these games coming up, hopefully. Students, this game will be the first one that students are actually back for conference games, so I'm hoping for a really big crowd coming Wednesday.
Davis, thank you so much for coming on. That means a lot, and definitely let's get a lot of people out there as far as the tailgate, the students, and can the adults come too, the old students?
Yeah, so we're actually going to be tailgating I think we're going to do it at someone's house, just because the parking around the stadium before is for like students that are on campus, so I don't know if we'll actually be able to have anywhere to park there. We're currently working on getting that figured out, so we're
okay.
Definitely keep everyone updated with that.
All right, so just follow you on Twitter, and that way you can get the updates for sure. All right,
yeah.
Davis, thank you so much. Hopefully we can get appreciate you guys. Means a lot to be in the stands. I'm in the Upper Bowl, and it means a lot. I get fired up when I see you guys in action down there in the Lower Bowl, and hopefully we can get a win against the Owls on Wednesday night.
Hopefully so.
Always fun to talk to him. Big game is tomorrow night with the Pirates in Temple at 7 p.m. You can get your tickets at ecupirates.com or call 1-800-ECU. a guy that we know very well. Let's go ahead and get our interview with Neil Punt as we look at Pirate basketball, and let's do that now. Very happy to have our next guest, who actually played in Dooley 1.0, the first Dooley era, if you will, and that's Neil Punt. Neil, man, so glad to have you back, a friend of the podcast, and so glad to have you back here on the Sports Objective.
Yeah, my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Well, I have to say that thinking preseason with you, I'm so glad that we can talk about competitive games, and I'm not a moral victories kind of guy, but Coach Dooley has me enjoying Pirate basketball and almost having a heart attack in a couple of the games this past week. So good to be back.
I'll tell you what. I really feel like they're kind of at a position now where I thought they would be a year from now. So I almost feel like they're kind of
right.
A year ahead of the curve, just being competitive. You know, we were 15-point dogs twice and won one of the games and should have won the second one. And then we were, 18.5 on Sunday and, you know,
yeah,
we were down big early and,
21.
You know, fought back. Yeah, exactly. You know, whereas in years past, situations like that came up, they just folded.
Game,
you know,
over.
So that's really where I see the biggest difference in this team with him leading the way.
I wanted to ask you, as far as that with Coach Dooley, and I always say with him, you can tell by the personality of a coach the way that a team plays. This team is fighting, scrapping. I know, Kyle, you've said, Kyle, how exciting this team is to watch.
Yeah.
The brand of basketball is, Kyle is not normally the basketball guy, and I think we're going to convert him to a basketball fan here for long.
Well, we may be a basketball school before we know it. I wish Coach Houston all the best. And football puts butts in the seats, right? But it's a lot easier to fill 7,500 seats versus filling, 50,000 seats. So we keep winning. We win some big games and get to the tournament. We'll be a basketball school before you know it.
Yeah, I know Kyle's like,
I want all programs in East Carolina to be successful, and believe me, when we're good, I've got into it, the CIT run a couple of years ago, and, it's just there hasn't been a lot to cheer about. And
I mean, yeah, let's be honest. In all honesty, we're a baseball school, so, we are what we are, right?
How good do you think Jaden Gardner can be? I mean, as a freshman, He's had three 30-point games already. What was his number feeling like? What, 35 points? How many rebounds?
35 and 20. I mean, that doesn't happen every game, right? For him, it seems like a normal
game. I mean, how good can he be? Can he be our first true NBA player since Blue Edwards?
I'll tell you what. If he stays healthy, and here's the problem. Here's what's good for us is he's 6'6".
Yeah.
So that's going to hurt him at the next level. Whereas if he was putting up these numbers right now at 6'9", 6'10", maybe even 6'8", he'd start getting looks in the next year where he could say, man, do I want to go in? But he'll get a look. He keeps putting up numbers. But if he stays all 4 years with us, he's going to shatter every record we have. I mean, he's just going to look how much he's improved in the last month and a half.
Right.
Even how he improved from the SMU game. SMU's long and tall. They aren't as long and tall as UCF, and look what he did to UCF. So he learned just in three conference games how much he improved. You give him another offseason, and, I mean, the sky is the limit for that kid. It is impressive. And I played that position in college. You know, I was 2 inches taller, and I never had a 30-point game, you know.
But you did very well, though, Neil. You did train that well for Dooley.
You know, and Dooley, like you said, that team has taken on his personality. And you can see it when you watch him on the sideline. And I just kind of chuckle and smile and just kind of remember what it was like, And it brings back memories. Even 20 years ago, I can remember, locker room speeches and reactions to wins and reactions to losses. And I'm just beyond thrilled with where we are, not even halfway into the AAC season, just our potential. I feel we can be a middle of the road AAC team this year, and if you would have said that at the beginning of the year, any one of us would have took that in a heartbeat. So, we're going to knock off some teams. We'll have a chance, we'll have a chance Wednesday. Temple's going to be a heck of a battle, but at this point, I feel like we can be competitive and beat anybody we play.
It's weird to say that because we're so used to, Kyle and I were talking about, I remember the last few years that I put the game on and I'm doing other things and I'm kind of like, you know, looking up, oh God, we're down 23 now.
Yeah.
Okay. We cut it to 18. Well, maybe we can make a run. And then it ends up being like 25, 29, like these big amounts in conference play where you have 6, 8, you know, like all these losses in a row. It gets really, really hard, you know, even as a diehard fan like Kyle, Bubba, and I are, it's really hard to be enthusiastic when you're getting your brains kicked in every night.
Yeah, when you're not competitive. And,
right.
You know, we weren't. Now we win all the 50-50 balls or 90-10 balls for us. If a ball's on the floor, we got it. And we're undersized, and I feel like we rebound well.
Yeah.
You know, we're a great transition team. You know, we struggle in the half-court offense, but that's to be expected with, you know, the size we have and, you know, the talent level we're at right now. But
Billy,
play...
go ahead. Billy will do a great job recruiting. You're talking about the talent level. And, you know, talking about being 90-10 balls or 50-50 balls, Billy will do a good job recruiting and getting better talent in here. But let's be honest, we're always going to be undermanned versus UConn or Cincinnati or Memphis or Wichita State. So if we're going to win here, what we're going to have to do is out-hustle everybody.
Yeah, and I agree with that in essence. We're better than Wichita State right now, you know. And you can say what you want to say about Wichita State. We have a better recruiting market than Wichita State. We have better facilities than Wichita State. I've been to Wichita State. You know, they lost their football team 30 years ago, and there's still an empty football stadium sitting on campus.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
Their baseball team, they're still living in the 80s from when they were going to the College World Series. I mean, it's a small campus. Their campus is about the size of Pitt Community College. I mean, they are, you know,
wow.
They got into our conference based off of, you know, a good run in the Missouri Valley. And, you know, I think they're about to be, you know, a middle-of-the-road, bottom-dwelling team going forward in our conference. I really do. Last year, they had a heck of a team that didn't win the conference. So,
yeah.
With our being able to recruit North Carolina, recruit the talent in the Southeast versus having to be, you know, you can go sit in Wichita in 20-degree weather, or you can be in North Carolina where it's 60. You know, that makes a big difference. I went from Minnesota to North Carolina, so trust me.
Well, yeah, you were like, this is shorts weather. It's 30 degrees right now, my friend. That's better than Minnesota, right?
I didn't even bring a coat with me when I went to college. So I was
serious?
More than excited, yeah. I did not bring a coat, not thinking, hey, we're going to go play, you know, up north. And it was funny because my freshman year, we actually played Boston University in Halifax, Nova Scotia on Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
And it was probably, you know, it was in the teens. And I remember Dooley pulling me aside and going, what? Why the hell? How do you not have a coat? And I'm like, you know, I'm an idiot. I don't know. I didn't think we would play in cold weather. I don't know.
Yeah, Coach Dooley has the one thing I like about him, he has a look on his face that he's, like, so cool, but inside, he's looking at you like he could kill you. Is that fair about Coach Dooley, like when he's on the sideline?
Oh, yeah. You knew what was coming. You didn't even have to yell your name. You hear the buzzer, and he'd just turn around and be like, I know I'm coming out. You know, and it was, you knew why, and he'd let you have it. But it was worse the day after when you're watching film, because then he'd call you out in front of everybody. You know, the whole team, the managers, everybody. You're getting called out in front of everybody for what you did wrong. And, you know, he doesn't let just the littlest mistake go by. And that's why he's successful.
He has the coaching staff as I don't think they're sleeping as well. Their recruiting has been tremendous. They know we talked to Cy Seymour the other night, by the way, Neil, and he was talking about Rafael Chilios and the different coaches are – they know about players in small high schools in North Carolina. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the staff he assembled here is, you know, off the charts. You know, getting the guy from Virginia Tech, his name slips my mind right now. But
Steve Rockerport.
Yeah. But then, obviously, Coach Chilios and, you know, UConn, and he was at Washington for a while. I mean, they're well-known, big-name college coaches, you know, that – have relationships with high schools all over the place that have relationships with other schools. So what happens, a lot of people don't realize in college basketball, is a Tubby Smith, who was at Memphis, right, has a great relationship with Coach Dooley.
Yeah.
So when Tubby's at Memphis, he's recruiting 4- and 5-star kids. Well, he can only have so many of them. So what does he do? He sends them to people that he has relationships with. That's a, one of the biggest steps of recruiting that people don't think about is your relationships with the other coaches, because you only have so many scholarships. It's not like football where you got, you know, 100 kids on the sideline and you can just load up. Basketball, you got 10 scholarships. So you're going to take your first 10 and you may offer 10 kids and 10 kids take it. Then you're kind of pointing those kids in another direction. And those are the relationships all three of those coaches have that's going to help them be successful. And they're going to find the guys, you know, the Jaden Gardners and guys like that, that are just all of a sudden you're going to say, wow, I've never even heard of this kid, and now look at him.
Yeah, he was really special at Heritage High School and Wake Forest. And he played in this, I think it was the Eastern Regionals at Williams Arena a year ago. And, wow, he was great then. But the great thing about him is he was a good player in high school. But you can see, like you were talking about, he's made huge strides from the time he was a senior in high school to now is like night and day. So that's what's scary about his upside. And I don't want to like build him so much up. And then, you know, but I feel like what's scary is the fact that we're still in January and we still have another month of conference play. Plus, when you get into the tournament time, that's a whole different season, right?
Yeah. And the point to make your point is, everybody we play knows who he is just like we do. They know him more than we do, and they're trying to stop it. You know, UCF was the hands-on favorite to win the conference, and they couldn't slow him down with a 7'6 guy and 6'10", 6'9", 6'8".
He shot that. Can you believe that he shot that three over Taco Fall?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but yeah, to get back to your point, once you get to the conference season or the tournament season, especially with the AAC, it's going to be, it's in Memphis this year, and
yeah.
Hopefully we can take some good feeling off the way we played there and, get in there and, maybe depending on where we finish in the standings, we won't have to play the first game and, win a game here or there, and you never know.
I remember the 93 team very well with Coach Dooley was assistant with Eddie Payne. And Jeff Charles tells the story all the time. We used to always go to one game and one and done, and we were out of the tournament.
Yeah.
And we won the quarterfinals, being eight teams in the CAA, as you know.
Yeah.
And then we go to the semis, and then we beat – and we go to JMU. Poor Jeff Charles only had one – one said he had to go out and buy clothes. So
that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, so they beat, JMU and go into the tournament. I think it was the first or second time ever. Yeah, I think our record was 13-17. We lost 9 conference games in January under Eddie Payne and still make the tournament. Unbelievable story. But I don't want the 93 team to be the last time that we ever make the tournament. And I feel like with How close do you think we are? Let's do the first step. How close do you think Dooley has us to NIT? Is it a year away, 2 years away, you think?
I was talking to Bubba this weekend, and I said within 2 to 4 years we'll be in the NCAA tournament. So we can
wow.
be in the NIT. We could be in the NIT. I feel we could be in the NIT this year or next year. I wouldn't be this year it would take something to get there, obviously.
Yeah.
But I fully expect this year's like a CIT year, and if we, make a run in the tournament, it could be NIT. As long as we can keep our conference record around 500, stay above 500 on our overall record, and be in the middle of the pack. That's what Dooley said. That's what made this job enticing, is it's a big boy league. It's a multiple bid league. So if you stay in the middle of the pack, you got a chance at the NIT, and if you win, get hot, you have a chance at the NCAA tournament. But I fully, I just the way we're playing and with the players I know he's going to bring in, I have no doubt we'll be in the NCAA tournament in the next 2 to 4 years.
And you think about it, what's scary is you have no Shepherd on the team anymore, no Wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got like a few guys that were off the team for various reasons, then we'll leave those alone. But for various reasons, we don't have those players
on the team this year, people transferring. By the way, I did have a question about transferring. Kyle and I were talking about, I know some Pirate fans are worried about Jaden Gardner. You saw a tweet, right, that he tweeted back to someone about if he's ever going to transfer?
This evening, yeah. I was actually probably about a half hour ago, I was just scrolling through my Twitter feed, and there was a – I followed Jaden, and there was a – he had posted something. Somebody had said, Dear Jesus, please allow – and then they tagged Jaden, and they said, please let him play us all 4 years, not let him have one great year and then transfer. And then his reply was, Pirate Nation, I promise you I'm here 100% all 4 years, is what he said.
Oh.
He's like, I'm locked and loaded.
Wow.
So,
if he can stay healthy, he's the ECU Hall of Famer if he keeps this up for 4 years.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You could say that if he played 2 years the way he's playing this year, he's a Hall of Famer, let alone 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
for you being a former player, I'm going to ask one more. I'm sorry, Kyle, I'm going to ask this real quick.
You
being a former player, how special it is for Dooley to turn this thing around? And I really believe that I've been telling people for years that that our school in East Carolina has more potential, being what you were talking about earlier, the state of North Carolina. You have a great coaching staff. You have facilities. You have everything, but putting the winning product on the floor, which is easier said than done. But do you really feel like in a few years with Dooley, hopefully he'll stay? I feel like he will, but hopefully he'll stay, and where we can be talking about it'll be a disappointment if we only make the first round of the tournament.
You just look at the landscape of college basketball right now, where – you know, Loyola makes it to the Final Four. When I was playing, that wasn't even a dream of anybody. You know, I think Gonzaga, 1 year when I was in college, is when Gonzaga finally made it, and it was like, I think they made the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. Whereas now, every year, one of those lower seeds makes a run. We are a sleeping giant, I'm telling you. We have the facilities, we have the location, we have Pirate Nation is as good as it gets. We start winning, Mindy's will be packed, you know. And I think the problem we're going to have is we're not going to have places in that arena to hang all the banners. It's going to be crazy. Cause
I love
gonna
it.
Start, you know, they're going to start hanging banners, and they're going to start hanging a banner every year for the NCAA tournament. They're going to have to go like Duke and just have one banner that says NCAA tournament and every year listed on it. You know.
Speaking of a good problem to have.
Yeah,
what do you think,
exactly.
Kyle? What do you think, Kyle? Are you feeling it?
I'm hoping. I mean, I you know, it's one of those things you don't even joke with, too. I got to believe it when I see it. I've never seen it before. But, you know, I think Dooley's, if we're going to do it, Dooley's the man to do it. So, it's a hell of a start. I don't think anybody, like, you know, expected this to be this competitive in the American in year one. So, hopefully it's a sign of things to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just want to see them keep taking steps. You want to see them start winning conference road games. The biggest thing, and I don't see this happening, you just don't want them to lose faith, so to speak, that all their effort and everything's going for naught. And the way that
right.
happens is it's support. They're going to lose games. But if they're getting big crowds and they're competitive and the crowds are supporting them, and then they're going to keep battling. And that's really the key.
That's what I was going to ask you. One of the questions I forgot to ask you early on, Neil, was how do we get the first road win? Was it we're so close Wednesday night in Memphis, and we fought back, and we had a chance to win against UCF, but it was more their day, really, than ours. But how do you break through to get – you played the game. I know it's difficult to win on the road. How do you get that road win?
First of all, there's nothing better than winning on the road, and I've said this before. Winning at home's fun. My best experience at ECU was winning on the road at South Carolina.
Oh,
we were
yeah.
by ourselves. Everybody was against us. South Carolina was coming off a 20-win year NCAA tournament.
I remember
that. Eddie Fogler was the coach.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing better. When you're at home and you win at home and you go into the locker room and you shake hands and you break it down and you shower and you go your separate ways. On the road, you go in there, you go back to the hotel, you're going out to eat, you're with your brothers. And it's you against the world, you know.
Mm.
It's the best thing. And once you experience that and taste that feeling, they're going to want to win on the road, and they're going to work even harder to win on the road. because when everything's against you and you finally come through and it works out for you, it's the best. I don't have their schedule in front of me, but they're going to win a road game here very shortly. I have no doubt about that.
I think we're 0-6 right now or something like that overall, or maybe 0-7. But like you said, the thing is they're so close that I don't see how they don't break through on the road wins. And then
I'll tell you,
obviously the home team, the home court advantage is there already. When they did those tickets, by the way, Neil, the $5 tickets, and they had a lower bowl with the students not back, and then you have they'll be back this time. But if they can do some discount tickets with what they have now, and Williams Arena for Cincinnati was really loud, and it was really cool to hear that. My daughter's very first game as a EC Pirate, and she's an instant fan. She wants to go back with Daddy now. So it was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I remember back in my day, the big game was Wilmington.
Yeah.
You know, when Wilmington was there, it was packed. You couldn't find a seat. Lines out the door. You know, when we would show up 2 hours before the game, the line would be out the door, people trying to get in. You know, and you made mention of our 0-6 road record. I throw out everything outside of conference. If we put us in Wilmington right now, we'd beat them by 20. You know?
Oh, yeah.
We could play Wilmington on the road.
That Charlotte
game. We play Charlotte on the road, we beat them. We'd be more competitive at Georgia Tech right now. You know,
the High Point game, we win that James Madison game. I feel like we didn't have Sean Williams.
Yeah, we're not losing on that crazy buzzer beater, you know.
They've got a lot of upswing. So hopefully we can get a win on Wednesday night, and Neil, hopefully we can get you back here to Greenville. There's a lot of Pirate fans that I know are listening right now that think a lot of you like I do and Kyle and Bubba do, and we're looking forward to celebrating with you and have you back. And we've talked to Raphael and we've talked to Othello, and it would be really cool to have you guys back, and maybe we can honor you guys, you know, like maybe the Dooley 1.0 team, you know, we can get you guys back.
Yeah, that'd be great. I look forward to it.
Now, you mentioned Twitter earlier. If people want to follow you on Twitter, how can they find you?
My handle, and I'm now, you know, I'm a 40-year-old trying to talk like I'm a teenager. My handle, if that's what it's called, is at True Texas Viking. So True TX Viking. Being a Vikings fan, that's my handle, and I've had that since
True
gosh,
TX Viking. Oh.
I've probably had that for 10 years. So
I think handle is kind of showing your age. I think that's CB slang, actually.
See, so there you go. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Neil, thank you, man. I appreciate you very much, and always good to catch up. And again, can't wait to see you and finally in person. And we'll definitely catch you back before the end of the regular season.
Sounds great. Look forward to it, guys.
Always great to catch up with Neil Punt, who is awesome. Appreciate him. Appreciate you, buddy, for being a friend of the podcast. Now let's go now to. We're looking at the other opponent, the opponent of the Pirates, which is tomorrow night, the Temple Owls, and who better do that than Ryan Wallen, and let's do that now. Happy to have back one of our favorites, of course, Ryan Wallen from Owls Daily 24/7 Sports. Ryan, thank you so much for coming back on with us.
Of course, it's always my pleasure.
Want to talk a big game on Wednesday nights with the Owls coming in. And I know you're happy with them, and we're happy so far, even though we're more competitive. That's what we're looking for this year with East Carolina. And I know, are you going to make the game, or are you going to cover it, I guess, from Philly? Or I didn't know if you're coming to the game tomorrow night.
No, I won't be. I won't be able to make it down to ECU for the game, but I'll definitely have my eye on the TV watching it.
So tell us for Pirate fans and for fans of the American. Can you give us kind of a scoop how things have been for basketball for the Owls so far?
Yeah, of course. You know, Temple started the season with a couple of easy games against, you know, Detroit Mercy and Loyola Maryland, and those were games that, you know, really set the stage for Temple early on. They allowed them to, you know, get a feel for what this team was going to be this year, and, you know, there was a little bit of a question mark coming in what this team was going to be like, considering they lost a five-year starter in, you know, Josh Brown and, you know, the reliable Obi Anecionia in the post. But, you know, so far this season, Shiz Alston has really, you know, made his name for himself as the leader of this this Temple Owls team. Even though, you know, Quentin Rose was the guy getting all the NBA draft hype prior to the season, you know, he had actually declared for the NBA draft last year as a sophomore, received feedback from several NFL or NBA teams, and then pulled his name out of the draft lottery because, you know, he figured he still had some things to work on from the scouts' perspective. But Shiz Alston Jr. has really been the guy that stepped up for them. You know, he's averaging 19 points per game, which I believe is good enough for second in the American right now. But Rose has also had a pretty solid season himself. He's averaging 16.8. He's top six in the American in scoring as well. And a guy who's really made his name for himself, especially here since conference play has started, has been Nate Pierre-Louis, the sophomore out of New Jersey, he's averaging over 20 points per game in conference play. He's just been a monster rebounder for them, and he's just a guy that drives to the rim, really attacks the basket, gets to the line a lot. And he was really clutching Temple's victory last Saturday against USF. He went 8 of 8 from the line and hit a couple of clutch free throws down the stretch that really gave the Owls that overtime victory.
I know with basketball, it's such a rich tradition there in Philadelphia. It's got to be really easy for Temple, for you guys to recruit, isn't it? I mean, yeah, I know you follow recruiting very carefully. How are things going for next year and beyond recruiting-wise?
Well, this recruiting cycle has definitely been interesting, you know, because this is Fran Dunphy's last year as the head coach of the Temple Owls. And, you know, prior to the season, Temple had made it clear that Aaron McKee will be the coach in waiting. So Aaron McKee's kind of, you know, shifted to being the primary recruiter for Temple. But, you know, Dunphy's still been out on the road recruiting, which I found very interesting. You know, he's recruiting guys that he won't necessarily be coaching next year. So that makes me wonder maybe if he'll come back in some sort of senior leadership role for the team after he retires at the end of the season. But, you know, it has been kind of hard for Temple here to recruit the city of Philadelphia, especially, you know, everyone talks of Philly as being, you know, a basketball city and all. And of course they have the great tradition of the Philadelphia Catholic League there, but you know, a lot of these other prominent, you know, Power Five programs have come into the city, and they're able to lure some of these, you know, Philadelphia Catholic League players away. And, you know, Temple's really kind of struggled in that recruiting aspect the last couple of seasons. They currently only have one commit for next year. I would expect them to maybe try and get one more big guy. They do need a post player next year with Ernest Aflakty graduating. The good thing is they do have Erashma Parks, who has not played this season as a true freshman yet because he had to undergo surgery earlier in the year. But, you know, and it's also hard to recruit against a program like Villanova that's seen success that it has had over the last five seasons. And, you know, when Temple's recruiting against teams like Villanova, Virginia, Florida, even some other SEC schools coming up into Philly, you know, that's hard to compete against.
What do you guys get players from besides the Philadelphia area? You got, I'm sure you go up into New Jersey. Where else does Temple get their players from typically?
You know, they do try to hit the New Jersey area very very hard, but you know, prominently here as of late, they have hit North Carolina. You know,
I don't need to stop that.
I believe they have
that's right. This one, well, I can't think of the guy's name. Yeah, they did get that.
They have JP Mormons from North Carolina, Justin Hamilton's from North Carolina, and I believe Damian Dunn, who's their the lone commit for next year's class, I believe he's from North Carolina as well. So they've really focused here on North Carolina as of late. I don't know if that's just strategy because, you know, these North Carolina kids are, you know, they have, you know, such great programs down there in the state of North Carolina, like, you know, Duke, North Carolina, NC State, all these ACC schools. I don't know if those are the guys that, you know, they see getting maybe overlooked by these more these bigger Power Five programs, and they figure they can maybe develop them into prominent players in the Northeast, or if that's just, you know, where they see the talent pool at currently, and, you know, they can't recruit the PCL, like I mentioned earlier.
That's amazing. But we had the color analyst for our network for radio, Cy Seymour, on last week,
He was talking about the very fact of how much talent we have in North Carolina, that Duke and Carolina can only take a few players, and maybe NC State starting to really improve with Kevin Keats moving from UNC Wilmington to now to NC State, but they can only take a few players. So when you look at East Carolina, we haven't had the basketball tradition like a Temple. And so I think a lot of times when you have a basketball tradition and culture like a Temple, it's easy for a kid from North Carolina to say, hey, I can go there, and they have a winning tradition. You have a big city of Philadelphia. There's a lot to do there. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to go to Philly, and I'm not saying that because obviously I want them to be in Greenville, at East Carolina, but it's understandable why they can get away from home, and we can go on and on. But hopefully Coach Dooley is trying to change the culture here in Greenville.
Yeah, of course, and, you know, there's been mass improvements already for in East Carolina's basketball. You know, they picked up that upset win over Cincinnati last week, and, you know, that really, you know, caught my eye as an attention grabber because, you know, typically ECU's not been, like you said, a prominent basketball school, but picking up a win against a team that was picked in the top two of the conference, that was definitely an eye catcher, and Temple definitely should not be taking ECU lightly going down there on Wednesday night because they have a long way to go yet. You know, it looks like they're going to be pending an epic collapse. They look like they might be poised to make an NCAA tournament run, but as always, they might be on the bubble depending on, you know, how conference play plays out.
Do you think if they are a bubble team that being coaches last year, him retiring, being, you know, a kind of a legend there, do you think that would give them an edge to get Coach Fran there in the tournament one last time?
I think that definitely the players know that this is the last ride for Dunphy. And I have seen, you know, the players play with a different sense of urgency that they hadn't in years past. You know, this team, like Ed mentioned, you know, they've been in a lot of close games, and they've went to three overtime games already this season, and, you know, they've won them all, and, you know, that they've upset a previously unbeaten Houston team that, you know, that was a tough game, and, you know, I think that these guys really know that Dump wants to get there one more time, especially since he's only been there once in the last 5 years. And really, in that game that they were in the NCAA tournament, they kind of got screwed by the refs in late in the game on a push-off call, and that might have cost them a second-round trip. And, you know, they're not stupid. The fan base has been openly critical of Dump, and I think that the athletes really want to send him out the right way and get him to the tournament and probably get him a win in the tournament for, you know, his last year. And I think that's what their goal is, and they're still striving towards that. They don't feel like they're playing their best basketball yet. They've said that after multiple games, including Saturday's game against USF, where, you know, they blew a 17-point first-half lead, and, you know, they really had to claw their way back and then hold on, you know, at the end of that game to, you know, pick up a win against, you know, a much-improved but still young South Florida Bulls team.
You guys on a three-game winning streak? Is that my memory served me right on that?
That is correct.
And they, it's just amazing when you're talking about disappointment for Temple, you know, with the second round. East Carolina, we haven't been to a basketball, just to the tournament in 20, this will be 26 years if we don't make it. You have to go back to 1993, the special run we have. So it makes a big difference when you're talking about Temple with a basketball tradition. And that's one thing that those of us who love basketball, we really want to see Coach Dooley succeed, and with the coaches they put together, and hopefully the recruiting, and we can keep the folks like Temple from poaching our North Carolina players. I don't blame you guys. We've got a lot. There's no doubt. You got to get where the talent is, right, Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I want to switch gears if we can right now and talk a little football. What are you situation with Temple? With Manny Diaz being there for a couple weeks, leaving to go back to Miami, how do you feel about the hire with Rod Carey and just that whole situation?
Well, I'm not going to touch too much on the Diaz situation just because I think that what he did was...
Oh, come on. Say what you think, man.
Was very... in my opinion, it was very classless move by him. You know, if he had any indication that Rick was even thinking about retiring, I don't know why you consider, you know, taking the job in the first place, not to mention that most of the time he was Temple's quote-unquote head coach. He was bowl prepping with Miami anyway, so, you know, he really only spent a handful of days in Philadelphia doing anything for the Temple program. So, you know, I think it was very, you know, classless by him, but, you know, hey, I'll take $4 million for him being, you know, there 17 days, and that can go towards, you know, new uniforms, a stadium, or, you know, some of the new coaches, whatever, you know, whatever that's going to be that Temple allocates that money to, but I'll definitely take that. As far as Rod Carey now replacing really Jeff Collins as the head coach, you know, at first I was, you know, a little underwhelmed by the hire considering some of the names you heard thrown around the first go-round with the coaching search, such as, you know, Manny Diaz, Mike Elko from Texas A&M, Greg Schiano was even interviewed for that head coaching position in the first search. And then you hear, you know, Rod Carey's the guy that's now going to lead the Temple program. And you're like, well, who is this guy? You know, he of course, you know, led Northern Illinois for 6 years. He was their interim head coach during the Orange Bowl year. He led them to a 12-0 start in 2013. But, you know, he dropped a poinsettia bowl against Utah State that year. And, you know, he's 0-6 in bowls. And that's a little bit concerning considering, you know, Temple – at this point, you know, it seems like in the American Conference being the Power Six program, you know, bowls are where you're going to make your name for yourself because that's where you're going to, you know, play some Power Five teams. And Temple certainly did not do a good job of that this year in their bowl game against Duke. They got absolutely destroyed. And but, you know, the more I looked into Rod Carey, the more, you know, he seems like he's a no-nonsense type of guy. He's very straightforward. I haven't personally gotten a chance to introduce myself or talk to him yet, but, you know, during his introductory press conference, I think he really made a statement saying, you know, like, he's not going to be here for theatrics. He's not going to put on a facade, you know. He's going to give you who he is. And he mentioned that he had talked to former Temple head coach Matt Rhule and asked him, you know, what's the best advice you can give me? And Matt Rhule said, be yourself. And, you know, if you're going to get a guy like Matt Rhule, who was here for 4 years, and it seems like, you know, Carey wants to be here for a while, considering also his buyout's ridiculously high, and I don't think any Power Five school in their right mind would buy him out.
What is the buyout?
It is reported to be $10 million for the first 2 years, and then it drops to $8 million after year three.
Okay.
So I don't think any school in their right mind really would go after that unless he maybe goes 25-0 with the New Year's Six.
Well, it could be North Carolina. You can have a rich donor who buys out Larry Fedora $12 million, and that gives Mac Brown was over $3 million a year. So you can, if you're North Carolina, you can do that.
I'll tell you what I know about Rod Carey. Rod Carey is a good, solid coach. He, you know, he took over for Dorn when he left for NC State. He did a good job at NIU. I don't know that Rod Carey's flashy. I don't know that Temple football hasn't been flashy. Y'all won being hard-nosed and physical. So I think he's a pretty good fit for up there. My one thing with Rod Carey, if you look at him at NIU, he did have the 1 year where you're talking about starting off 12-0 or whatever it was. But his teams, they always won, but he kind of got stuck in that, and a terrible place to be, but he kind of got stuck in that 7-5, 8-4 there for a while.
We'll take
it. You know, right now he's gone.
We'll take it. Sign me up.
I think he's a solid hire. I'm kind of like you. I didn't know from the beginning. With your first hire, when y'all hired Manny Diaz, you mentioned Greg Schiano. I do not know why you guys didn't hire Greg Schiano. And then when Diaz, you know, ended up bolting for Miami, I again said, just hire Greg Schiano. to me, it makes perfect sense for the job he did at Rutgers.
Yeah. He knows the area very well. And,
exactly. But yeah, I do think,
the three of us on this podcast, we were pulling really – Greg Schiano fans to Temple.
Exactly. I don't know why we would.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't make sense. He's a great coach. He can they'll keep beating us.
But Dora's a good coach, and I think he'll do a good job there, and I'm looking forward to seeing East Carolina improve with Mike Houston. Some good games between Temple and East Carolina instead of blowouts.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's what fans are going to have to get used to, because, you know, Collins was very much a presence, and Collins was a guy that, you know, was all about building a brand, and I think Kerry's more of a subtle guy, you know, going to be more like a Matt Rhule type coach where he doesn't really, you know, want the attention. Well, he'll take the attention when it's good attention, but, you know, he's not going to create his own attention other than, you know, going out and making a statement on the field.
No. I wanted to ask you as far as Ryan, how is this all playing out? It's been, we're trying to keep up with all the coaching carousel across the board, not just Temple. How is this playing out with Temple fans right now?
You know, Temple fans, like myself, you know, were very, very burnt by the Manny Diaz situation.
Yeah.
We understand that it's a business, but, you know, I think there comes a point, you know, when you sign a contract, you kind of have to abide by that contract, and you should have to abide by that contract. And you should at least have to coach a game. You know, I don't think you should be allowed to leave before you even, you know, get to the national signing day. I also don't think, you know, I think fans also would like to see coaches be able to stay for their bowl games, because I feel like fans, once again, you know, Temple had a prime opportunity to go down to the Independence Bowl and play Duke. You know, that was a game Temple fans, you know, expected to win. And, you know, Coach Collins leaves for Georgia Tech a couple days after that bowl game's announced. He does let the staff stay there and prep the team. But I think that still, you know, that aspect of Collins not being on the sideline and Collins not running the defense like he did most of the time as the head coach even, you know, I think that really kind of hurt Temple in the bowl game. And, you know, fans want to see that change where the coaches can't leave until after the bowl games are done or until, you know, their commitments are done.
Yeah, and another thing, and I don't know how much of a college staff he took with him to Georgia Tech, but when you got assistants there running the team, they're all wondering where they're going to coach. They're looking for other jobs. Am I going to college to Georgia Tech? Is Manny Diaz going to retain me here? Am I going to go coach, you know, with XYZ? You know, that's a huge distraction. Now, I don't know if you know, I'll just tell you this, you might get a kick out of this. I don't know if you know who Jim Ross is, but he's a famous wrestling announcer.
Yes, I'm familiar with him.
Okay, well, I don't know if you heard this or not, but when Manny Diaz left to go to Miami, he has a segment on his podcast. He gives the Pet Coon Goofy Award out each week. And Manny Diaz was an honorable mention for leaving Temple before even coaching a game to go back to Miami.
Well, I'll give props to good old JR on that one because, Well, as he would say, that was a slobber knocker. It definitely was the Temple.
He should get I'm thinking, guys, when I heard that move, you know the name I thought of? And I've never told – I haven't just thought about this. I didn't even tell Kyle or Bubba. I thought about Lane Kiffin. This is a Lane Kiffin. If you can make Lane Kiffin a verb, this is a Lane Kiffin. This smells like Lane Kiffin is what I was thinking. And I was really shocked because I really feel like, even though you guys typically have been a basketball school, I really feel like under Matt Rhule, and then you've had success before, and then Jeff Collins has done a nice job. I feel like it's a really good football job now. And right up there with, I think you could argue with the basketball team, and it has a lot of upside, like we've talked about with being in the city of Philadelphia. You could go on with making a case for it. So I just couldn't understand why you would. And another thing is the university, no offense to the folks in Miami, but the University of Miami is not the job that it used to be. Kind of like Notre Dame. There's certain schools that they have a brand name, but they haven't been the brand name in quite, and I know Notre Dame did well this year, I'm not saying that, but as far as winning national championships, it's been a while for both schools, especially Notre Dame. But Temple's got a really good tradition, and I'm not saying that because you're on the podcast. I really feel that way, and I don't. And even the bigger picture is, like you're saying, he had a chance. He should keep his word, and your word is your bond. My parents taught me that many years ago, and that's something I've tried to stick with. And if I take a job and I'm there a week or two, and then I find this other job, I wonder how people would receive me for doing that. I've never done that, so it's kind of foreign to me. So,
yeah, of course. And, you know, like you were saying, you know, Miami is not in a good spot in the football program right now. I mean, Mark Richt started with a team that was ranked this season, and they finished, what, 8-5 or 7-6, something like that. And they got throttled in their bowl game, in which Manny Diaz was the defensive coordinator for. So, you know, it puzzles me as to why he would take that job, especially, you know, when Temple has a good core group of players coming back next year. They're very young, still on offense. Everyone's back on offense except, you know, Raquel Armstead. And on defense, they have all their linebackers back, and really they only have to replace a couple guys in the secondary, which I think they'll be able to do. So Temple's got definitely a decent shot to, you know, compete for an AAC title next year, especially, you know, with Mackenzie Milton being out down at UCF. I'll, of course, wish him a speedy recovery, but, you know, Daryl Mack is not the quarterback that Mackenzie Milton is, and I definitely think Temple can, you know, compete more with UCF now this coming year than in years past. So we'll definitely have to see, but you know, Rod Carey's going to be in a very good position if that's the case, and that probably benefits him. And Manny Diaz, he might be lucky to win 7-8 games next year at Miami. So we'll definitely see how that plays out.
Well, Ryan, we're praying that we can win more than 3 games, and our prayer is our ceiling, I think, is a bowl game. I'm going to stick with that this year. I feel like with the coaching staff, I think you're going to like Mike Houston and his staff when you get a chance to hear them, and they've already brought a lot to the table, and I can't wait for the only way that our league is going to get to that quote-unquote next level, not in our eyes, but the nation's eyes, is for teams like East Carolina to get better. So hopefully we can I know you guys are going to be good, and hopefully we can start being competitive again, and first step is to get to that bowl game again.
Yeah, I totally agree, because, you know, I remember my second game ever as a Temple student. It was East Carolina coming in as a ranked team, number 20, 20 in the nation, 21 yeah. in the nation,
oh,
into the Lincoln.
We'll talk about the game.
But,
the,
you know,
the
that,
rain
that,
game.
That was the games that I, you know, I grew up seeing, you know, Ruffin McNeil's squad being ranked, and that's the East Carolina I'm used to, so I definitely would like to see them get back. And you know, I've never had beef with East Carolina. I've always been, you know, a Pirate guy. I think you guys got one of the coolest mascots, color combos in the nation.
Yeah, Mike Houston's going to get turned around. We made the right hire. Won a national championship at James Madison, took Lenore Ryan at the Division II level, also to a national championship game. He's the right fit here. I did want to ask you one more football-related question before we start to wrap it up. Is there any serious talks about you guys building an on-campus stadium, or is that even possible with it be you guys kind of being landlocked?
Well, there had been proposals as of, you know, last season. There was really movement starting on the, you know, the stadium talk and about stadium possibly breaking ground and possibly being open for the beginning of the 2020 season. But, you know, the school submitted their proposals to the city planning commission. The planning commission denied the plan. So right now Temple's kind of at a stalemate with the city as far as going about building the stadium. They're still, you know, conducting searches and trying to talk with the local community about possibly building a stadium in North Philadelphia, which will be hard considering that it will up property prices around the school and, you know, the surrounding community. And I think that's mainly the biggest concern right now for the local community in Philadelphia is, you know, they don't want to see that game day traffic coming through their area, and it, you know, it's going to clog up Broad Street. It's going to clog up the subways. I think that's the biggest issue right now. So I believe as of right now, Temple extended its lease with the Eagles up through 2020, 2021, something like that. So it doesn't look like it's going to happen within the next, 5 years, because, by the time you'd even get it passed, they'd still have to build the stadium itself. So I wouldn't expect it anytime soon, but I think ideally Temple still would like to build that on-campus stadium.
Well, it sounds like to me you got to find a crooked politician you can buy off, and then you can build a stadium. So, I'm kidding, of course. But you know how politics works. It's a dirty thing, dirty business.
Yes, and well, Philadelphia has its reputation for having some crooked politicians in it as well.
They're everywhere, my friend. They're everywhere.
Of course.
Ryan, thank you so much. By the way, before we let you go, we always want to plug. We love 24/7 sports. Obviously, we have our site with Steve and Igo, but talk about Owls Daily and how can people find out more content and, of course, with the great job you guys do with recruiting.
Of course. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Ryan Wallen 247. That's RyanWallen 247. And then you can follow the Owls Daily 24/7 Twitter account at Owls Daily 247. And then if you want to ever come to the website, check us out, temple.247sports.com.
All right, man. Ryan, thank you for being generous with your time, and we look forward to the game tomorrow night. Good luck to the Owls and the rest of the season as well. And I can't wait to – it won't be long. I know we'll have you back on talking Temple Owls football again.
Of course. My pleasure, as always. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, man, what a show. Kyle, that's been a great time, a great ride. And do you have anything before we go?
I know. I just hope we play well against Temple tonight, I guess, as we drop this podcast on Wednesday morning. So we play well tonight against Temple, win or lose, just another great effort. And I want to thank all our guests. Ryan did a great job talking about Temple and was very engaging. Neil, always fun to talk to.
Davis,
yes, of course, with the Minji's Maniacs. And go out there, guys. And if anybody's welcome to sit with the Maniacs. So maybe when you were in college at East Carolina, the Minji's Maniacs weren't a thing. So now it's your chance to go be a Maniac. And of course, Cliff, want to thank him for giving us his time this morning and being a part of the Sports Ejector podcast. And Cliff, we hope to have you back on.
That'll be great. No doubt about it. All right. Well, like us on Facebook. You can do that and search. You can obviously just search for the Sports Objective Facebook page. Easy for me to say. You can go on Twitter. You can follow us at The Sports OBJ, on Instagram at The Sports Objective, and of course, like us. You can actually like the podcast, and you can review, give us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever there's a review for the podcast. Well, we're going to miss, we've really missed Bubba on the close and the open. We appreciate him for all that he does. Thank you, Bubba. Thank you, Mr. Barber. Kyle from LaGrange, thank you, sir, very much. As always, you've been with me the entire way since March of last year, and we're still growing.
Right.
And appreciate that very much. If you want to sponsor us, you can obviously email us, by the way, or any kind of comments, you can email us. And by the way, that's thesportsobj@gmail.com. For Kyle from LaGrange Barber and Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.